Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we're still in our series, Living a Life of Fruitfulness. I don't know if you know this yet or not, but when you commit yourself to live a life of fruitfulness, the enemy is going to oppose you. He's not going to sit back and go, yeah, go ahead, do it. No, he's going to try to bring things into our lives to try to spoil the crop that God's wanting to build within us. But he's not going to be successful because we know our theme scripture, John 15:16. Jesus said to his disciples, "You did not choose me. I chose you and I appointed you to bear fruit." What kind of fruit? The fruit that remains. Now you'll remember that next week, won't you? That's our verse. We're going to be saying it over and over again, and so it becomes part of us. This is what God has appointed us to do, is to bear fruit. And 2 weeks ago, we began looking at the fruitful works of the Holy Spirit. And you have an insert here in your bulletin today. I know we're a little late here, but please, I can do this. Just stay focused and we'll walk through this. We actually have 7 on here, and we've already covered 6. That's pretty good, isn't it? And the 6 works that we saw, and again, if you weren't here, you can get a CD or go online or whatever. But here are the 6 that we've already looked at, the 7. We noticed that the Holy Spirit was active in the new birth of every believer. You can't get saved without the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, I want to dispel this idea of the haves and have-nots. You know, these people have the Holy Spirit, these people don't. Not true. Now, there is some things we're going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that are unique. But listen, the Holy Spirit is present in every believer, according to Romans 8. You are the temple of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within you. Number 2, what do you see there? It produces the fruit of the Spirit in believers. Is that right? That's not a gift. That's different than spiritual gifts. It's organic. It's growing. It's something God is doing in you. Love, joy, peace, right? Kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All these things are increasing in our lives. But not because of the flesh, but because of the Spirit. Galatians 5. In fact, he was bold enough to say, if you believe it's true, I think it is. I believe it is. That if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a commitment Paul made in that scripture, and I believe it's absolutely the truth. And so, very important, and we'll be tying back into the fruit of the Spirit. Number 3, he's our comforter, our helper, and our teacher. All the scriptures are there to back that up. You know, he teaches us truth. He helps us. He's our comforter. He's constantly with us. I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit's not an accessory. He's not just something we've added on. Jesus said, I got to go. So the Holy Spirit can come and we can get on with the mission of the church, which he saw as fruitfulness. And it's going to be by the work of the Holy Spirit. Number 4, he leads us in witness and prayer. We don't have to worry about the words we're going to say. He said the Holy Spirit will give you the words. And we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray so often. The Holy Spirit will pray. It is his work within us. Amen. And number 5, he produces power and boldness in all of us. The scripture declares there in Luke 24, Acts 1, Acts 4, they received the Holy Spirit and they spoke with boldness. I love it when I see timid people get filled with the Holy Spirit and start speaking in boldness. Because I know it ain't them. Right? I mean, some of you are naturally bold. You're easy to work with. You know, you're just bold anyway. You're like me. But I love it when timid people come. And I think, man, that is the Holy Ghost right there working in their life. Amen? What are you guys? Okay. Shh, settle down. Okay, number six. The Holy Spirit unites the church in one. You believe it? Yeah, it's called the unity of the Spirit. It's the unity of the Spirit, Ephesians 4. And notice the writer says it's something that he wants you to endeavor to keep. It's not something you got to go out and get. The Holy Spirit gave it to you. In fact, when you first got saved, you had it. You probably didn't even know it. I mean, when I first got saved and I saw somebody with a little fish on their lapel, I wanted to go up and kiss them. Man, are you a Christian? I'm a Christian too. And then I heard, hey, watch out. They're not all the same. You know, look out. You know, there's different denominations. He said, keep it. Don't lose it. God gave it to you in the beginning. We need to hang on to it. And let me tell you, God's bringing a spirit of unity in the church here in Wichita. I believe there's a spirit of unity, and it's based in prayer. Oh, just FYI, change on your calendars, because I just got the text last night. Our citywide prayer meeting's been moved from the 14th to the next Thursday, which I think is the 21st, because that's spring break, and Friends University said they'd rather have us there when the students are there. Because you know what we're going to be praying about? Education. So teachers, you all be there. Everybody be there. We're going to come together as a city, all churches of all stripes, praying. It is, and the Holy Spirit unites us in that. And of course, we have number 7, right? We saved it to last. And I hate to tell you this, but we're going to take 2 weeks to do number 7. Okay. So this will be part 2 of part 1, part 3. If you can keep up with this, you're better than me, all right? I said, is this still the first part? All right, this will be the second part. But I wanted to lay a foundation today as we consider the 7th work that we want to talk about, the work of the Holy Spirit, and that is that He gives gifts to believers for the purpose of ministry. And you'll see those scriptures are already listed in your handout, and we're going to spend the next couple weeks looking at that, okay? But first, I want to lay some groundwork for you. And we're not in any hurry. This is the advantage. Like, oh, by the way, did you appreciate Mark preaching last week? Did he do a great job? I heard he did. Yeah, in it to win it. Can you put your hand right back there? He is. Amen. Great job, man. I love you, brother. It's great. And I preached at Marshall's home church last Sunday, where he grew up as a boy. I told him they did a good job with him, and we were grateful to have him. All right, but it's awesome. And I know some folks of worship here are going to be going to help Pawnee Avenue Church of God. You know, what denomination is that? I don't know. It's just the church, okay? We're the church is what we are. We're going to help and be part of whatever God's doing in the city. So it was a great time. But I appreciate Mark. Heard a lot of good response. I haven't got to listen to the message yet, but thank you, brother. I love you. You are a precious brother, a gift to Faith Community Church for sure. Well, as we think about the gifts of believers, you might ask, and you'll see in your insert there, the question, what are we? There are two types of viewpoints in the church concerning the gifts of the Spirit. One we put in the category of cessationalist, and the other is what we call continualist. What are we? Well, one of the interesting things is I used to be what is called a cessationalist. And that's someone who believes that the gifts ceased after the age of the apostles. That it ceased. And I was taught that. I was raised up in that. I believe that. In fact, I thought Pentecostal people were a little, you know. Oh, man, these people are weird. They're strange. Until I met some. And they weren't that way. And I was a police chaplain at the time. And another police chaplain relieved me, who happened to be an Assembly of God pastor. And his name was John. And I thought, oh, John's one of them people. And but he just loved me. He was patient with me. He began to share with me. And so he just challenged me. I began to look at the scriptures, and I began to move towards the position of the continualist. What is the difference? The cessationists believe they've ceased. The continualists believe the gifts still exist, and they will exist until the end of the age when Jesus comes. All right? And who are we? What are we at Faith Community Church? If you're new here, we're continualists, okay? Just want you to know that. I want to give you a heads up on that. We believe that the gifts still exist. And we believe that they will be with us until the end of the age. And of course, as one coming from one camp to the other, I have a lot of friends who are cessationalists. And we're buddies. And we're friends. And we talk together. And we pray together. Guess what? They're part of the body of Christ. Yeah, they are. And I love, we get along. We're very civil with one another. We have a lot of good discussion. And I want you to just be careful. Do not let the gifts divide us. You know, it's a great opportunity to be able to minister to one another. I read a book, and if you get a chance to get it, I think it was published in 2013. A brother by the name of Sam Storm. He's not your typical Pentecostal. And by the way, I hate labels. You know, what are you? I'm a follower of Jesus. That's what I am. And I'm a man of the book. That's what I am. You put any label on me you want. I probably won't fit your label if you spend much time with me, all right? I'm what you call the radical middle. I found that place. There's a lot of extremes, I love reading Sam's book. And in his book, he talked about, so oftentimes as Christians, we live by the 11th commandment. He says, thou shalt not do at all what others do poorly. And so oftentimes people are sensationalists because they see the abuse, they see the excess out there. And so they take, I don't want nothing to do with that, you know. And Sam tells his own story, you know. And he remembers one time watching television, and there was a TV preacher on there, and he got so angry at him because he was, of course, talking about the gifts and stuff, and he felt he was really on the edge of excess, and he got so angry, and he said, he yelled at the television, and he said, if that's what being filled with the Spirit is, I want no part of it. But then God laid his hand on him. And I had to write this down because I felt so good. Because the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And he said, he felt like the Lord said, Sam, never justify your disobedience to the word by appealing to the abuses of others. I went, whoa. Because that's kind of where I was. Because I saw the misuse. But here's what you got to understand, and God had to bring this into my life. Misuse does not mean disuse. It means correction of use. And as Sam said, never justify disobedience to the word by appealing to the abuses of others. So, we as a church here, so you know, we are continuous. We believe the gifts will be with us and are operational in our midst until the end of the age. Now, there are a lot of things, again, that we can disagree with on our brothers, with our brothers and sisters. We may not even be totally in agreement here. But we are still brothers and sisters all the time, every time, okay? You know that Connie and I left the pastorate in 1997. In fact, Stephen, who we introduced today, I remember him, as his son's here, who was his age when I was his pastor. And he was coming through the hall. I said, I knew your daddy when he was your age. And his eyes got real big. I know what he was thinking. How old are you? You do feel a little aged when we have those encounters, right? Glory to God. But we left the pastorate in 1997 when we went and started our own business. And we went into this ministry called The Bridge. And we weren't expecting this to happen, but we began to cross all denominational lines. And I preached at churches I would never attend. You say, that's a little strange. Not really. As long as they didn't restrict me, I had great liberty. And because the Lord showed me one day, I was standing at sitting in this church waiting for things to start. And I said, God, how do you feel about these folks here? And I just felt him say, I love them dearly. And I'd like you to love them dearly too. And don't look down upon them. The haves and the have-nots and you're wrong about this and you're wrong about that. I remember one time being in a car taking a guy for a tour around town. Well, there's a church. That's what's wrong with that church and this church here. And that's what's wrong with that church and this church here. And that's what's wrong with that church. The Holy Spirit is grieved because of our disunity sometimes. And we have to be careful because I know during that experience, God taught me to love the church again. And I love her in all her entirety. I love the Baptists. I love the Methodists. I love the Nazarenes. I love my Catholic brothers and sisters. I know that probably troubles some of you, but I do. And I think God is at work in many ways. And here's the thing that God spoke into my heart. And again, I'm just telling you my story. One time I was in a situation and thinking about all the things. Well, they're wrong about this, and they're wrong about that, and they're wrong about this. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, what can you be wrong about and still be part of the kingdom? Well, definitely not the stuff we're right about, right? Here's the bigger question. What are you wrong about and you don't even know it? I'll tell you who can understand that is preachers. My wife came in one day and she said, look what I found in a box. It's a cassette. Do you know what a cassette is? Okay, cassette. Hey, that used to be hot stuff, cassettes, let me tell you. She said, it's a cassette of a sermon you preach. And I stuck it in and listened to it. I listened about 5 minutes. I said, you can throw that in the trash, what you can do with that. I said, I can't even believe I said that. How many of you know God is revealing, exposing things to us? And so be careful. Because there are a lot of people who God will put in your life who won't agree with you. But they're still part of the body of Christ. And they're still brothers and sisters. And be careful that you don't give the enemy opportunity to divide us over such things. I do want you to understand, however, that there is a movement underway in the church. that involves the Holy Spirit. And now the advantage I have over when Mark preaches is I get multiple Sundays, so I don't have to be in a hurry. We'll get done what we can, and I'll get another shot at it next week, right? Mark's got to unload it right there Sunday, right? Glory to God. Well, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Lausanne Covenant or not. In 1974, a large group of evangelical churches met in Lausanne, Switzerland, for a conference on missions and world evangelism. And there were 150 nations present. There were people there like Billy Graham, John Stout, Francis Schaeffer, Ralph Winter, Carl Hendry, and many others. And several things came out of that conference. One was, it's common language to us now, but it wasn't then, was the focus of missions on unreached peoples group. And at that point, they identified 12,000 unreached people groups. But they made an incredible observation that in the church world, as we knew it, the evangelical world, 80 to 90% of our missionaries were in places that had churches. And 10% of our missionaries were in places that didn't. And they thought, well, this is imbalance. What's wrong with this? And so out of that, they made a covenant. It was like 20 covenant points that they made that was really incredible. In fact, this group has met again. They met in 1989 and in 2010. But the first meeting didn't involve an awful lot of charismatics or Pentecostals. But I was drawn to one of the points in their covenant, and it's Covenant 14, entitled The Power of the Holy Spirit. This is not written by classical charismatic Pentecostal people. So I was drawn to their words. I'm not going to read it all, but half of it. The part that really caught my attention was these words. They declared, "Worldwide evangelism will become a realistic possibility only when the Spirit renews the church in truth and wisdom, in faith, in holiness, in love, and in power. We therefore call upon all Christians to pray for such a visitation of the sovereign Spirit of God that all his fruit may appear in all his people and that all his gifts may enrich the body of Christ." And then they close with this sentence. "Only then will the whole church become a fit instrument in his hands that the whole earth may hear his voice." Wow. The next time they met in the 80s, half of them were charismatic and Pentecostal, and half of them were more the evangelical, fundamental. And then they've met again since then, since the turn of the century. And one of the things they've noticed, or I've been reading some of their documents of late, that all the great breakthroughs around the globe are usually happening when people recognize the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives and pray that way. That's where great things are happening on the mission field. And it's bringing a spirit of unity because it's being recognized. And so I just want to encourage you today. I want to entice you today that I believe, now I'm the radical middle, you're in a safe place, but I believe we cannot minister successfully in the church without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If it's going to be fruit that lasts, that's the kind of fruit that I believe comes by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul began 1 Corinthians 12 with these words. He said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." I do not want you to be unaware. Now he's getting ready to write to a very dysfunctional church. But I'm glad she's in the Bible because we get a lot of our teaching about gifts through this church. And this church didn't come short in any gift, man. I mean, they had it. But they had some issues that I believe Paul is wanting. What did he believe? He believed misuse did not mean disuse. He believed it meant correction of use. It's great balance that we're going to see in Paul's writings as we consider them. But he was encouraging them that they learn, that they understand what is happening in the gifts of the Spirit. All right? In the New Testament, one of the first mentions of gifts is when Paul wrote the Roman church in the first chapter, verses 11 through 12, when he said these words. He said, "I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is," this is how he says, "that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." Now this is from the NIV. If I don't tell you different, it's New King James, but when I use other, it'll say, this is the NIV if you're looking at your translation. What is Paul saying? There's two ways you can look at this. One is that Paul's coming to impart gifts to them. Or, as I prayed over this and looked at this, I thought, I think Paul's coming with his own gifts. And he's going to minister to them through the gift of the Holy Spirit in his life. And he said, I long to see you that I may impart or give to you from the spiritual gifting. For what purpose? What does it say? To what? To make you strong. To make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I believe personally in my own life that the major reason for the gifts of the Spirit is to strengthen the people around us and to strengthen their faith. Taylor and I were talking this morning about an experience he had when he first came to Faith Community Church. Steve Crawford came up to him. He didn't know Taylor from Man in the Moon. And he came up to him and he spoke a word over him about his life. And Taylor went, how do you know what? He said, it hit him like a ton of bricks. And we're driving, talking about this, and knowing what I was going to preach on this morning. I said, well, tell me, what did that make you feel like? What happened? He said, well, it strengthened me. Really? Yeah. Did it build your faith? Yeah. Perfect. That's what the gifts are supposed to do, aren't they? And that is our greatest motivation as we begin to prepare ourselves and open ourselves to the stirring of the Holy Spirit to use us in supernatural ways. If you want to minister in the gifts, then ask God to give you a desire to strengthen other people's faith. And he'll give you, you're not going to do that in your own ability. You're not going to do that in your own strength. You're going to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand, gifts are given to be given. They're not, oh, look what I got. I got this gift. No, they're given to use. They're tools, aren't they? We need to look for someone who needs their faith strengthened. That's what we need to do. And pray for the desire to do it. In Corinthians 14:1, pursue love. 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul says, pursue love and desire the spiritual gifts. We're to desire it, right? Well, I'll tell you one way to help ease you into that. Start desiring to strengthen other people's faith. And to help them be strong. Because if you step out in that arena, some of you need to pack a suitcase and go overseas. And you'll find out just how important this is and how God wants to work through you in power and strength. It's how the gifts will flow. I believe a Spirit-filled believer who is the Holy Spirit has been allowed to be stirred up in their lives and use them, that people will cross their path during the day. And you know what? They're going to walk away with greater confidence in their life because they met you. Because the Holy Spirit is going to use you as a conduit to make people strong and to increase their faith. This is huge. In 1 Thessalonians 3:2, Paul was writing to the believers in Thessalonica. It's not on the screen. But I was thinking about it the other day, and he revealed to them why he was sending Timothy to them. Almost, keep this verse in mind as you listen to these words. He said, we sent Timothy to you, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. You ready? To strengthen you and encourage you concerning your faith. It's almost the same thing, isn't it? That's why I sent Timothy. I bet Timothy was going with gifts. What do you think? You think the Holy Spirit was using for him? Or did he just show up in his flesh? Because I can tell your flesh is not going to take you very far. If you really want to impact people's lives and you really want to encourage them and you want to strengthen them and you want to build their faith, you're going to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through your life. And I think it's one of the major reasons gifts exist. Because gifts are given for the profit of all. They're not given just to possess. They're given for ministry's sake. That's what we're doing. I want to encourage you in another way. Don't get hung up trying to name your gift. I personally believe the lists that we find in the New Testament are not all inclusive. I don't think they are. I think anything that the Holy Spirit does through your life and its supernatural ability that he gives you through your life and ministry is a gift from God. It's not of you. And sometimes, I tell you, sometimes, don't tell people. Sometimes I see people moving into gifts and they don't know it. I don't want to tell them sometimes because I think it'll ruin it. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. This is very important. If we're going to move in the gifts, the number one enemy will be pride. Pride will poison the water of your ministry. When God gifts you, it's like those people who are moving in the gifts. I don't want to tell them because I've seen it too often. It's the abuse, but don't let the abuse bother you. That doesn't mean you can't walk in the radical middle and find that place in God. But one of the things you're going to need is humility. It's the greatest enemy that comes when we're moving in supernatural things. We get all puffed up about it, and we actually begin to think it's us. And he says, be careful, be careful. And let me tell you, that's what the fruit of the Spirit's for. The fruit of the Spirit is very important because think about love, joy, peace, kindness. Love. Most of the problems I've had in my experience as a pastor over these many years, when we've had problems with gifts, it has been a lack of the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, they had gifts, all right, because gifts are gifts, all right. But the fruit of the Spirit helps guard us against what Paul's talking about here. Because you get all puffed up and arrogant, you think, man, I'm hot stuff. When you really need to come with great humility, because that brings grace. And all this is about grace. Listen, read, see what you think. Don't take my word for it. Listen. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to what? Grace. It's God's grace. According to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Not on the screen, but Deuteronomy 8:17, Moses said to the children of Israel, beware unless you think in your heart that you have done these things. Or you think you're a gift to. You know, boy, you guys are lucky to have me. No, you're lucky to have the grace of God in your midst, working and moving through humble people. Having these gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, it's going to be different. We're all, they say, well, I've got all the gifts. Oh, that's wonderful. Use what God's given you. If prophecy, let us use prophecy in proportion to your faith. See, grace and faith work together. Faith feeds off of grace. It works together. For ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Wow. Listen, gifts are a tool. They're a tool. And God will give you a tool for the job whenever you need it. Why overseas do we see so much manifestation? Because they're doing the job. And they need it. You want to see the Holy Spirit move in your life supernaturally? Maybe you need to pack your bag and go. Maybe you need to get on the front lines of ministry. Maybe you need to step out and try to strengthen other people instead of constantly looking at your own. Just start, say, I'm going to go strengthen people today. I'm going to go build them up in their faith today. You do that and God will meet you and the Holy Spirit will fill you. And I believe things will flow through you and you won't even realize how it all happened. It's just going to be God working, just like what happened to Taylor. It is by his grace, isn't it? Quickly, 1 Peter 4:10 through 11. As each one has received a gift, notice each one. Oh, that's Pastor Joel. He gets the gift. Oh, that's Steve, or that's one of the elders, or no. It's the body of Christ. Can you imagine what would happen if God mobilized a church this size and everybody just began to let the Holy Spirit work through your life and you didn't care about credit and you just, by God's grace, humbled yourself and set out on a mission to make people strong and to build their faith, I wonder what might happen. What might happen in your family? What might happen at work? What might happen on the job? See, we're all stuck on having a great church service, but let me tell you, it's bigger than that, much bigger than that. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As God, see, gifts are given to give. as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, there it is again, it's all about God's grace that does this thing. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, not your ability, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Do you see there? There's two expressions, either in word or in deed, which really, when we get looking at the gifts, they're categorized. And by the way, I want you to twist Mark Harmon's arm before he leaves today. Just corner him. And he gave me a book that he's prepared on the gifts. That's really good stuff. I mean, really good. And I'd like for him to do a joke class. And if you would not let him leave, get to his car today and talk to him, get him to commit to it. Okay, anyway, great stuff. But you'll see even in his material that these gifts are categorized. But the word gifting, speaking, he says, you know, that's powerful, isn't it? Because we speak, God uses our tongue to speak. And we're going to strengthen someone's faith? Yeah, remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you think that could come through you? Yeah. Yeah, God could do that in word. And indeed, service. We're going to act out on things by the Holy Spirit. It's not just your ability. It's not just you. All right? And it's all to the glory of God. Do you see it? It's all to the glory of God. And he says we're stewards. We're going to be stewards. That means it doesn't belong to us. Stop acting like it. No, it's God. I'm a branch. I'm just a branch. And I'm hooked to the vine. And out of the vine comes all these things. And I'm just a conduit for that. Real quickly, as we leave, I know time is up, but I want to give you, just fill in the blanks, okay? You got it there. Three things that gifts are not. Based on what we read today, tell me if this is not true. First thing, gifts are not earned. If you have to earn it, it's not a gift. Can you imagine Christmas? Hey, I got these gifts with your name on, but you're going to have to pay for them first. Well, what kind of gift is that? Say, what? That'd be silly, wouldn't it? Say, you can keep your gift. They're not earned. Secondly, they're not medals of honor. Hey, look at me. I have this gift. I have this. No, they're not medals of honor at all. They are for the purpose of, we are stewards by grace serving one another. In fact, when you see people walking in this spirit, go the other way. I don't care what kind of manifestation it is. They're not medals of honor. And thirdly, they're not natural abilities. They're things that you could not do in and of yourself. And we'll be talking words of knowledge, words of wisdom. You say, man, this sounds pretty spooky. Really, it's not. And you don't have to be afraid. It's just God working through you. Have you ever had an experience, and you didn't even know it maybe, where God was speaking through you or made you aware of something that you couldn't have been aware of any other way? That's the Holy Spirit working. But it's never meant to be earned. It's never meant to, as a badge of honor that I wear on Sunday morning and gives me a label or a title. Again, watch out for these titles and lists and labels. Just let the Holy Spirit work through you, amen? And know that it's God's ability. But more importantly, let's look at three things that gifts are. Here's the first one. Gifts, and we said that. Did you see it in what we read? It's supernatural grace gifts. They're supernatural grace gifts. And I believe we can be supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural. I believe you can move into a situation and not be super offensive to people, but they would go, what just happened? Whoa. And it's going to draw them to Christ, and it's going to make them strong and strengthen their faith. That's what we're looking for. All right? Secondly, we talked about this. They're tools for the job. They're tools for the job. I personally believe, I mean, you could disagree. It's okay. I'm open. I believe you can have access to all the gifts. Now, I believe some people probably move naturally in some areas, but I believe, again, you'll get a tool for the job. Whatever the job is, you'll get a proper tool to go with it. And don't think for a moment. Remember Moses' warning. Don't think this is from you, because it's not. Now, I like people. I probably have a natural inclination to speak. But I can tell you sometimes I know when this is not me. There's something happened. And I've said things sometimes that come out of my mouth. Go, well, that wasn't even in my notes. Where'd that come from? Not again. Not, I'm just saying. You don't really think this is you, do you? You don't really think you're going to... The world, our brothers in Switzerland understood we will never win the world without the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. And these were guys, that's not the way they talked. But something happened at that conference that convinced them. And then the next year, all of a sudden, here's all these charismatic Pentecostal people coming on board, and they're all loving one another, and things are happening in the world. I mean, we are closer than we've ever been to seeing world evangelism. And how do you think that's going to happen? Oh, I know, through technology. Or through something we can do. No, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly and lastly, to strengthen the faith of others. This is the main purpose of the gifts. Now, there are other things that can happen, but the main purpose in the body of Christ, which is for the common good of all, is that we might edify, exhort, and counsel one another, and that we might build each other up in our faith and to be strong. And I'm telling you, if you will make that your goal, and I did this week, experimented my message. I just got up every morning. Lord, I want to strengthen somebody today. I want to encourage someone in their faith today. Would you help me do that? And wow, things began to happen that were not of me. At a grocery store, a lady standing in line, and all of a sudden, you're drawn to that person. And I know some of you, it would take a lot for you to do this. That's why you know it would be God to speak to someone who you don't even know and say, listen. And listen, you don't have to say, well, thus saith the Lord. God told me. I like what IHOP says, Brother Bakel says, you get one thus saith the Lord a year. I think that's a good counsel. One a year is all you get. Because you got to be careful because some people are trying to manipulate you. You need discernment. We'll talk about that later too. But just go and just say, you know, I don't know why, but I feel drawn and just let God do it. And you'll see what happens. You'd be amazed what happens. You'd just be amazed. You could write a card by the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit that the Lord laid on you to write a card that you didn't intend to write. I mean, do you understand? I want you to get excited about this. I want to entice you to just begin with the desire. Say, God, give me a desire to be used supernaturally by your abilities in my life to minister to other people. Can we just start there and see where it takes us? That's what we're going to do this week, and I encourage you to do it. And then next week, we're going to finish unpacking this, and we're going to look at some specific gifts as well. But we're going to come to the table of the Lord. This is a great place to come. This is the table. The Holy Spirit is present here at this table. Romans 8, 15 through 16, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with your spirit that you are the children of God. Without the Holy Spirit, we got nothing. We got nothing. Are you willing to stop letting him be an accessory and let him possess your entire life? Would this change your marriage? Maybe, huh? I can remember saying to the Lord one day for my marriage, Lord, I'm not a very good husband. I'd like to be a better husband. I can read books and try to get the techniques down. But God, I need something more than that because I don't know what to do or what to say. And I felt the Lord just move on my heart. Joe, why don't you just trust me in this and let me love your wife through you. That's the Holy Spirit. Because I know just what she needs. I know when she needs it. I know just the right words to say. Remember all that? Is that the whole work of the Holy Spirit? So I said, okay, I'll do it. I wrote it in my journal. I've made that commitment. And, you know, I remember driving down the street and I had this urge to buy my wife flowers. That's not the devil. Just rebuking Satan right now, trying to take my money. He's trying to take my money. That's what he's doing. But Lord, it's not a special day. It's a special day. You just don't know it. You just don't know it's a special day. Could we live our lives that way? How many of you think it'd be exciting to get out of bed in the morning? I got out of bed the other morning. I said to my wife, today's a 10. She said, save it for later. Well, I just wanted to give you advance warning. It's going to be a 10. She says, I got to work into the 10. You get to start with it. I got to work into it. Lord, we love you. We love you. We love each other. It's been really great being here today and experience all we experienced. Lord, I know exactly what I said, but I don't know what people heard. But I believe you want to prepare us and open us to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and to work through us in supernatural ways that we can't even imagine. And Lord, would you help us just to rest in you and allow you to do whatever you want to do through our lives. Give us that desire. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to dismiss you. You have your assignments. Be anxious to hear what happens this week. But before you leave, some of you may want to spend some time here in prayer. It is God's gift to you. There are those who will come and pray with you, lay hands on you, believe the Holy Spirit can impart things. I believe even through the laying on of hands. And so take advantage of that. If you have any needs in your life, you need to just be encouraged. We often say you just need a hug. There's something to that, you know. The Holy Spirit and the body of Christ loving one another. Some people spend all week without it, and they come here, and this is like an oasis. And sometimes it's that way for me. I got to come to church because not for my salvation, but just to be strengthened and to have my faith built up. That's what happens whenever we come together by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you need healing in your body, we want to pray the prayer of faith, anoint you with oil. We encourage you to come. If you have any needs at all, or you just need us, you want to just be stirred by the Holy Spirit today in your life, whatever. We'll stay as long as we need to, all right? We don't need to be back till tonight at 6, so we got plenty of time, so praise the Lord. Father, I pray your blessing upon this congregation. I love them more than I can find words to say, and I sense their love for me. And Lord, covering all that is your incredible, unending love for us, and we're basking in it. And I pray that out of that will come this opportunity this week to strengthen one another and to build up one another's faith. Lord, not in our own abilities, but by your power and by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord.